This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shyamala Ganesan. Tonight we're talking about things going back to normal and how we can prepare for this.
Yes, so Malaysia officially entered the endemic phase today. First, we look at how businesses are preparing for an influx of international visitors and things opening up more fully. And then, are we all collectively emotionally ready for things to go back to normal?
In essence, tell us, how are you feeling about everything happening everywhere all at once? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So if earlier we were talking about people crossing the land border between Malaysia and Singapore sharp at midnight, that sharp at midnight transition into April 1st also marks our transition to the endemic phase, something that we've been talking about for quite some time, which means that our borders are fully reopened. Businesses are going to be able to do more or less as they please in some ways. They'll be able to set their own operating hours according to the license that they hold. And I think just in general, when we've heard this this endemic phase in other countries, what it has entailed is fundamentally a move towards living with the virus, yes, but also going back to normal, however it is that we're choosing to define that.
I feel like my brain, though, is still at yesterday. I mean, if we're in April 1st today, physically, I'm not sure that I'm quite processing what it means to be at this new phase. And that's really going to be quite a big part of this conversation today as well, I think. But just to look at the businesses aspect of it, right? If we look at what business owners are saying, according to a survey by Ernst & Young, about 86% of Malaysian businesses say that they are prepared to move forward and to live with COVID. Slightly more than half, 56% indicated optimism that they might be able to recover to pre-pandemic levels by late this year. Meanwhile, if we look at the international borders aspect, Nancy Shukri, who's the Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture, said that we're expected to welcome some 2 million visitors once our borders reopen. Needless to say, quite a big leap from essentially borders being closed to welcoming that many people. And I think the major expectation or the takeaway is that it's time for us to think about what this means in terms of recovery, because I hear a lot of the conversation being about that, right? Businesses will be able to recover, tourism sector will be able to recover. So on that side of things, at least, I think cautious optimism.
Sharmila, you've been working from home this week, right? So I've been the one who's been driving to the office. Traffic's picked up. And I think, you know, for better or for worse, right, that's something that we're going to be seeing as part of the return to normal. I think, you know, it's also going to require a bit of a mindset shift, because for everyone who walks around and sees emptier streets, emptier shops, and feels a pang of the heart, there is also that sense of, oh, but at least I'm safe. Or at least that's what we've been told to kind of, you know, that's been the mindset for the last couple of years. But what we're seeing now, I suppose, is back to normal. You know, on the weekends, the streets should be completely full again. Restaurants will be packed. There are all these things that are about to happen. And I'm really, I have to say, so happy and relieved for the people who need this, for the businesses who have said, we're appreciative of the fact that we've been able to run. We're appreciative of the fact that we've been able to survive. But in order to thrive, we are going to need for this change to happen. And so I'm really pleased for people and hopeful that they managed to get that. It's not without challenges, though. I think that particularly a shortage of manpower is something that's been highlighted over and over again, whether it's simply because of a foreign worker shortage or more generally, just the fact that, well, when you don't have a lot of business, you can't maintain a large staff. So restaurants, hotels, the people, or rather the businesses who are expected to benefit very deeply from the travel, are also the same sectors that are actually rather understaffed at the moment.
Yes, so there is that, right? Because recovery actually also literally means they've had 2 years of not being able to operate as usual, and therefore they need to actually account for the things that have changed in between. Now, if we apply that to people in terms of how mentally prepared we are for this to happen. It is worth saying that experts have repeatedly said that this does not mean the pandemic and the virus isn't, are we even supposed to call it pandemic anymore? I'm not sure. The virus is very much still around. So the health minister, for instance, keeps reminding the public to remain vigilant, to still do that whole test, report, isolate, inform, seek thing. You know, various doctors are talking about still maintaining wearing face masks, being, if you can stay in, to do that as much as possible. So it's an odd thing, right? Because we are told simultaneously that we can start going back to normal, but on the other hand, be careful, be vigilant. Mm. And so I think that psychologically, emotionally, it is tough to decide what to do, when to do it, and even what going back to normal feels like or what it might mean to us.
Yeah, and that's the second part of our show, right? So while the first bit, we're definitely going to be focusing on the business aspect because that's hugely important. For the second part, we do want to talk about the feelings of it all, because I think that there's been a lot of talk about feeling stuck during the pandemic, of having lost time, of having lost 2 years. And now, is that all just going to go away? Are we just expected to rejoin, you know, the merry fold of it all as if nothing happened? And I think for some people, especially people who have who are more conscious of their health, or who have lots of reasons to be more conscious of their health, who might be immunocompromised, you know, all these sorts of things, I think that the push towards everybody's just going to be out and the borders are reopened and it's all fine, I'm not saying anything about the science, merely about the emotions. I think that that can be a little bit of a mindset shift that will require some work.
Yes, certainly for me, I'm still trying to decide what it means to now even go back to a full office, which is something many people have been talking about. The fact that I think I've gotten a lot less used to hanging out with groups of people, and how much adjusting that needs to take. I think there are multiple small daily things. It's like you don't realize you've gotten rusty with it until you encounter it.
So again, we're going to start off by looking at how businesses are preparing. And then after that, we're going to be talking about how lofty, how society can prepare emotionally for us all to be back out there together again. And we'd like to hear from you. I mean, do you feel ready for everything to go back to normal, whatever that might mean? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Erwin Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Balming frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It is just about 6:16 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about endemicity. I don't know when we'll grow tired of saying or hearing that word. But anyway, we're officially, we have officially begun our transition to the endemic phase, with it being April 1st. And so we want to hear from you. Basically, do you feel ready for everything to go back to normal? How are you feeling? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're starting off by taking a look at business preparedness, right? Where businesses enter the picture. On the line with us to talk about that is Dr. Erwin Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite. Dr. Erwin, thanks for speaking with us.
Good evening to you all. Thank you for having me.
Malaysia has, as we said, officially entered the endemic phase. How are different business sectors embracing this transition?
From the business's point of view, we are very excited over this reopening. As you know, that Malaysia is actually a trading nation. So having foreign tourists and having open borders, it's very important for us as Malaysia, you know, move forward with the business as well as tourism as well.
So what preparations have businesses been making in anticipation of this?
Basically, we've been working on the SOPs for almost 2 years. And I think I would say that we have perfected the way of how we run Patuhila SOP. It's not like since yesterday we've been talking about wearing masks and keeping our distance and so on and so forth. I would say that every businesses in all sectors has been able to uphold their SOPs and maintain with it. And I would say that we are ever ready to actually welcome, even if it's an influx of travelers coming to our businesses, because we are already with the SOPs. Yeah.
So we mentioned in brief things like manpower shortages earlier. What kinds of challenges might businesses face in light of the economy opening up?
Well, actually, it depends on the industry that we are in. But if you're talking about from Industries Unite, because we serve the mid-tier to the smaller micro-entrepreneurs. And majority of our members are actually from the micro-entrepreneurs' perspective. So there are two main challenges that is being faced right now. Number one will be about the cash flow, about money in hand, you know, so money to buy goods and stuff and so on and so forth. Even though no doubt that the businesses has been open for quite a while, but it was only for local businesses. And if you're talking about money in hand right now for them to get ready for another influx of tourists or people traveling over, they may not have enough at the moment in time. So since, I would say, beginning of the year, 2022 to now, there was not much of a cash incentive that has been announced by the government. But we, of course, thank also some of the ministries, the government as of yesterday, MEDEC, has the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development has actually announced a 48 million stimulus, zero loan interest for 12 months, which the micro entrepreneurs can actually get their hands on hold up to 50,000 loan by Bank Rakyat. I think that is actually a very, very good move. But we hope that we will have more of this stimulus package that can actually really help, especially the micro entrepreneurs. That's one of the issues. The other main issue, which is the challenge for all of us in all industry, is the manpower shortage right now. Because right now, Malaysia has always been working with foreign workers. And right now, we have shortage of workers. I mean, if you look at the hotel industry, they are having a lot. Because during these 2 years, there is not much of a tenancy, occupancy, shall I say. So yeah, the numbers has been reduced tremendously. But if you're talking about having open borders and new travelers coming to Malaysia, we may not have enough people to actually work on the ground. This is not only for the hotels, but this is also like in the F&B industry, you know, the the restaurant line as well. We don't have enough workers on the ground to actually fulfill that at this moment in time.
Now, with all of this in mind, are there new directions or priorities that businesses can explore as this reopening allows for a quote-unquote fresh start?
Well, yeah, this is something that we hope and we have actually proposed to work with the government, which is to focus our ties on Malaysia, you know, of buying local. You know, it used to be where we have all these, incentive or these campaigns that we work with the tourism, where with Ministry of Tourism, where we say buy local, you know, get tourists to actually come over to our place and so on and so forth. But right now, when with the reopening of borders, no doubt that there is a lot of excitement that we are talking about in terms of getting new people coming into Malaysia. But if you look at the incentive, or shall I say that if you look at the campaigns, there's not much of an announcement on any campaigns whatsoever. I mean, we have to do a great deal of marketing, you know, in order to allow foreign travelers to know what's really fantastic about Malaysia. I mean, we've been losing out over the past months because our neighboring countries has been opening their borders already. Look at Thailand. You know, Thailand has been reopening their borders and they have been having their campaigns out all over the world, you know, including here in Malaysia. We can get their marketing as well, you know, travel to Thailand. So I think for Malaysia, we really need to step up our marketing overseas so that people will know what to do in Malaysia at this moment in time.
You mentioned this earlier in brief. Let's talk about the government and their role here, right? What kind of support would be most useful? I mean, what is currently out there? What else could there be?
Okay, one of the things that I mentioned, which is actually the shortage of workers, you know, especially foreign workers, what we hope to see is that, because right now, even if we apply for foreign workers, it will take a long while before it is being approved. So what we hope that the government could actually grant us, which is a rapid visa pass, you know, maybe a fast pass, you know, rapid pass, where it allows foreign workers to be able to bring into Malaysia at this moment in time for at least the next 6 months. Because if we don't do this right now, we are going to have a very huge bottleneck at the end of the tunnel, you know. And I mean, if you ask people to open shop, but the thing is that you only have one worker in the whole of restaurant, and the rest you don't have people to serve you. I think that is not the issue. So right now we do hope that the government can actually help us to speed up the process of getting these permits passed so that we can actually come back to where it was before.
What's a realistic timeline to expect businesses to recover back to pre-pandemic levels of operation?
This is a very interesting question. Well, right now we are actually talking about from survival mode to recovery mode. Well, if you're talking about even like opening of borders, we can't expect that once we open and we are back to normal. Yeah? So even like reopening of borders will take about probably, you know, people will take some time before they will start leaving their country. So probably we have to wait for another 6 months down the road to see whether if people will begin to travel. That's one of the things. So if you're talking about businesses coming to pre-pandemic level, we have actually written to the government before about having the recovery stage. And we would say that probably if right now, looking at where we are today, our recovery, it will be interesting if we can recover within 1 year. You know, but if anything less than 1 year, I don't think any of the industry will agree that we will be able to recover as pre-pandemic level in less than a year. You know, we are talking about probably 1 year of recovery and probably another two more years of stabilization.
So is there anything then that you'd like to leave us with now that we are officially in the endemic phase?
Well, this is something that, I mean, from the industries that we will definitely uphold, you know, together working with the government, as because we are actually doing our own policing as well, you know, to ensure that everyone, businesses are actually practicing SOP and maintaining a safe distance and making sure that their places are being standardized. And so that, because we ourselves, we are our own families as well. We have our own you know, workers and so on that we need to take care of. So we are also afraid of any clusters that is going to be increased in you know, for having such big numbers coming in as well in Malaysia. So I would say that please be mindful for those who are listening in, especially business owners, to make sure that we always practice you know, safe distance and also SOP moving forward.
Dato' Owen, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dato' Owen Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite, talking about business preparedness, basically, to reopen as we are officially now in the endemic phase. And that's what we've been asking you. I mean, we started off talking about business, but we are, after this, going to be talking about emotional, mental preparedness, because there's a lot going on there. But we want to hear from you. Do you feel ready for everything to go back to normal? You can call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this message that's just come in from Stephen.
Stephen says, I just entered Mid Valley half an hour ago. All entrances open, lift and escalators accessible from all floors. Thermal scanners are taken away. No more lining up in front of the elevator to ground floor from parking. Just this kind of convenience alone is relieving. Feels like we're one step forward towards the normal. I didn't feel it strongly when the endemic was announced until I stepped into the mall. I haven't been out today yet, so I can imagine, though, because all of these things that we don't realize weighs on us and adds minor, not just inconveniences, but sort of makes you feel a little trapped on a daily basis. I suddenly, when I imagine them not being there, I can understand that feeling of relief.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you add up all those things, right, is that between 5 to 10 minutes of your time, depending on how long the lines are, depending on how long the wait is for the elevator. Like, there are all these things. And I do think that, especially in the mall experience, that this is something that we would have felt very keenly, especially because you're just trying to get in and out. But now we're talking about going into places to hang out, you know, because that's what it is.
Remember when, apparently.
Yeah, so this is where we're at. But let us know. We're talking today, since we are officially transitioning or transitioned to the endemic phase, about our preparedness. We just heard about businesses, and after this, we're going to be talking about us as people, a society, how we're all feeling. And that's what we want to hear from you. How are you feeling? Do you feel ready for everything to go back to normal? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today we are talking about the endemic phase, because that's officially what we've begun our transition to, basically towards living with COVID-19 and things kind of going back to normal. I mean, the borders are open. Businesses can now set their own opening hours. You know, the SOPs are still there, but just the kinds of restrictions that we've had on our movements and on what we perhaps can do has gone away, broadly speaking. And so while we heard earlier on about how businesses are feeling about this, we wanted to spend the second half of our show really talking about our kind of emotional preparedness, because it is a big change and it's a collective change. And we've been asking you, how are you feeling about this, right? I mean, essentially, do you feel ready for everything to kind of go back to normal? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we get to our next guest, though, we do have some messages.
Let's start with this from KW, who says, before the pandemic, I already had some OCD. Now my OCD is getting worse. Constant washing hands, getting restless about people touching me. I don't know how long before my coworkers notice it.
You know, KW, I'm sorry that you're going through this. And I think that this is absolutely something that tells us, I think, what it means to live along with COVID-19, because it also means living with the changes that the pandemic has brought to our mental state, whether that is, you know, increased anxiety, whether that's increased OCD, whether that's worrying about, okay, on my own, it was like this, but now that I'm re-entering society and I'm going to be around other people, they're going to notice. And I think all of those things, I'm not saying that they are permanent, but I think that they are very much one way of thinking about how we've all changed. You know, it might not be this for everyone, but I think we all have our own things of how I used to be all right with this and now I simply am not.
And this is kind of speculative, right? But I feel like during the pandemic proper, whenever that was, it became almost a little bit more acceptable to talk about how you were feeling not okay, you know, to talk about mental health challenges or anxiety. And I hope that we don't regress and go back to being, well, everything's back to normal. What's the big deal? Because I don't think that's fair. I think that the fact that we've been able to talk about this is a lesson that we should take forward with us, and also to realize that it's going to take us a while to transition, and so that we should be kind with the people around us.
Also, consider this a PSA for all the people that you might be trying to catch up with who then say, I'm not ready. I think, you know, this idea of respecting people's boundaries, depending on where they might be, now that we're all emerging from this, that's also very important. In that same vein, we have this from Kamarun Nizam, who says, I love normal, but I'll also be missing my own space when I'm in the crowds.
I get that. I will say that I've enjoyed being able to go out sometimes and have my own space and not have to worry about crowds. And so I think I totally get that. We have Dr. Kyrie saying, I'm prepared for everything except the terrible traffic jam, which I'm in right now.
This is so real. So Sharmila, I am telling you, prepare yourself. What is it they say? Gird your loins. Because really, the traffic jams are in full swing.
I can see it outside my window and it's giving me anxiety already.
Yeah, it's not been something I've particularly enjoyed. But yeah, I mean, we're talking today about the fact that we have transitioned now to the endemic phase. Very weird to talk about it in the present / past tense, but it's true. As of midnight today, we are now in that stage of, you know, borders reopening and so on. And so we want to hear from you about how you're feeling about this, right? Do you feel ready? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, though, to talk about this emotional component is Dr. Anasuya Jigathevi Jigathesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at the University of Cyberjaya. Dr. Anasuya, thanks for speaking with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Okay, so we've been asking everyone, we have to ask you, how are you feeling about this national shift towards the endemic phase? Are you personally prepared?
Oh, I'm so prepared. It's more like, thank God, it's such a relief. I can't wait.
Will it entail any major changes for you in terms of your routine or work?
I also lecture, so it's really good to have, you know, back face-to-face classes. And right now, because we have hybrid, we can see the difference between those who are sitting in front of us in face-to-face and those who are at home. I really have to say that I really feel there's much more learning, there's much more output from the students when it's on the face-to-face rather than at home, because at home, the output is just not the same.
So you mentioned students, but for the people around you, right, maybe, you know, friends, family, so on, in a general sense, what's the conversation been like about things opening back up in life, going back to its former pace?
I think the conversation is very hopeful. It's very much like, can't wait. Me and my friends, I mean, especially with the friends, you know, we're kind of on the same wavelength of, you know, can't wait to get back out there. Then, of course, everybody is complaining about the traffic jams again. But short of that, you know, we can't wait. I mean, especially to go on holidays and just to go and relax. I think a lot of us need a break.
Now, we often talk about heading into this new normal or going back to the way things are, but we are also seeing a lot of talk, right, which is pretty strong about the struggles of having lived through the pandemic or feeling like we've been in a state of stasis over the last 2 years. For people who might feel like they've been stuck or isolated for a long time, what might be some of the challenges in making this shift towards the endemic stage and living with the virus?
One of the major changes you're going to see is for people who for 2 years have not had face-to-face meetings, official meetings. In the last 2 years, the only people they've seen are their family. If not, everything has been online. And suddenly we're expected to have, you know, major meetings face-to-face. You're supposed to, sometimes it's your first job interview. You know, after 2 years of just studying online and doing things online, we're supposed to see somebody for a job and go for an interview, and it's face-to-face. And I have literally seen some individuals, you know, cowering from that, and they don't turn up for the interview because they're scared. And that anxiety is so choking that they just can't, you know, they can't get themselves to actually even attend the interview because they have not been for a face-to-face interview in so long. So the impact of COVID-19 in terms of social skills is quite great. When I'm talking to young people in classrooms, you know, even just to stand up and introduce themselves, they're stressed there. There's more stress than they used to be because they're just not used to it. So getting back the skills in terms, and these are skills, in terms of managing public speaking anxiety, in terms of managing presenting anxiety, of talking to not so much your friends, but in a formal setting, talking to bosses, talking to peers, that is now going to be a challenge for quite a number of people. You know, because of the job and because of what the things we were doing, we did have a lot of outside interaction with, you know, adults. But some of the teens, they weren't even allowed to go shopping. You know, the parents had to go shopping. And that's 2 years of critical skills loss. And that does create much more anxiety. I must admit that the one time I really get anxious is when I see small children. Like if you go into a restaurant or I go into a shopping mall and I see a lot of small children, or alternatively, I see a lot of elderly around. And even though I know I don't have COVID, I don't feel sick, I'm not sick or anything like that, my anxiety goes up just because they're in the crowd. And it's still going up even now. That one I have noticed that I do tense up a lot more when they're small children around and they're elderly around, because, you know, somehow or another, we get sick and we pass it to them? Or what if they get sick and we are here? So, they, you know, that anxiety is there. Even for myself.
Right. And, you know, I wanted to bring it back to something you said earlier about the rustiness, because I think a lot of people feel that. I know I feel that after even a couple of weeks of being away from people and then returning to like a social setting. So months or years is very long. And all of this can manifest in more anxiety, more irritation. What should we be mindful of in terms of our own reactions and responses here when we're out and about? What's part of the normal adjustment? What should be cause for concern?
Okay, the major cause for concern is panic. If your anxiety spills over into panic and you feel overwhelmed, I cannot breathe, you know, it can actually show itself in physical symptoms. So if you suddenly get a panic attack because you're not used to people and suddenly there's so many people around, or I'm suddenly being judged and I feel very judged because somebody's looking at me and for so long people didn't have to look at me, you know, then that panic can lead us to make unsound judgments, especially during an interview. We can say the wrong things. We can react in the wrong manner. So one of the things to watch out is your anxiety levels. If you feel your anxiety level is going high, take a break, control your breathing. The control of breath is one of those important things. And one of the funny things which I find when people control breath, they think that just breathing in deeply and breathing out is breath control. Actually, your breath control is when you hold your breath. So you breathe in deeply, you hold your breath, you know, for a few counts, two, three, four counts, and then you breathe out. That holding breath is when you're actually controlling yourself. When you breathe in and breathe out, fast, you know, like even though you're doing long breaths, if you're doing it too fast, your anxiety actually might go up because it's a very, it can be a very harsh motion. You know, you can, people start doing that and you're like, I'm like, you're getting more anxious when you breathe like that. So you need to breathe in, hold the breath and breathe out. And that is one of the ways where, you know, even in a public place, you can start like, oh, I'm getting anxious. I need to focus. Okay, just focus on your breathing. Don't focus on anything else until your breath calms. Then go and do what you have to do.
I'd like to extend this a little bit because I think anxiety and being able to track your own anxiety is something that perhaps we can do. But irritation, I feel like, is something that other people notice you're more irritable. And so I'm just curious about how we can manage that, perhaps that increasing sense of irritability around others.
You're right about that. Irritation is something that other people tell you. So the question is, are you willing to listen when you're irritated? I don't know about you, but when I'm actually irritated, the chance of me listening to somebody saying, hey, cool down, you're irritated, it kind of doesn't work because you're already irritated. Then you get irritated more and your response is, I'm not irritated. You know, that's the boulder rolling down the hill. Unless you are in a space where you self-evaluate, when you are irritated and you catch yourself and then you yourself, you know, okay, I need to check it. I am irritated. Or you have the presence of mind to accept if a third party says you're irritated. Most of us don't. I mean, I'm going to be really honest. When a third party tells you you're irritated, especially in public, you know, we don't take it very well. The only way somebody can tell us you're irritated is it's private. That means they take us aside a bit. They say, you know, calm down a bit. You know, you're showing signs of irritability. And then you don't say you are irritated. You say you're showing signs of irritability. And people are more likely to accept that as feedback rather than saying outright you're irritated. So if you are telling somebody you're irritated, try to be a bit diplomatic. Take them aside. Instead of saying directly you're irritated, say that, you know, you're showing signs of being a bit upset. Or, you know, is something wrong? You know, put it in those terms instead of making it, oh, you're being irritated. And because once you accuse somebody and they get defensive, then they get more irritated. So, but if you yourself catch yourself being irritated, then you have to make a command decision to continue being irritated or to do something about it. And, you know, sometimes we will make a decision that, okay, I know I'm irritated, but this situation, you know, requires me to show a bit of anger. So, okay, fair enough. But if you can't make the decision and then you go and you regret it, then maybe you need help controlling your temper.
We're speaking today with Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagathesan, and we're going to continue this conversation after this about the emotional or mental adjustment required as we head towards the new normal. We've been asking you, of course, how are you feeling about this? Are you ready for everything to go back to normal, whatever that might mean? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:53 and on Inside Story today with Lynn and Shamila, we're talking about the endemic phase and how prepared we are for it, specifically in this segment, our emotional preparedness, a big thing, I think. And joining us to talk about this is Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagathesan, who's the Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at the University of Cyberjaya. So, Dr. Anasuya, thank you so much for staying on the line with us. Now, I think it's important to acknowledge that there are some people who have been left with a sense of trauma, grief or loss from the pandemic. What might be able to help with those feelings?
You've asked like a very complicated question in one sentence.
Yes, trauma, I'm sorry.
They're all different things. So, you know, grief, you know, loss can be loss of, I've lost my freedom. Some people have lost their job. So they have to deal with job loss. They have to deal with status loss at this type of time. Grief can also be, you know, they may have lost a loved one. And one of the big things about this pandemic is, you know, our culture, we you know, funerals are a big thing. Funerals are a big thing for family. Funerals mean a lot in terms of how we respect the people who we love. And one of the worst things of this pandemic is that we've missed out on being there for loved ones. We've missed out on the death of loved ones. We've had people overseas, people you know, in different states even, saying, I wish you were here. I'm in hospital. I'm all alone. I don't know what to do. And we can't go. So one of the worst things that this pandemic has done is it's created a kind of, you know, a grief where we have not been able to be there for people when they need us. And then we're not able to be there at the funeral. And sometimes you're watching funerals on Skype or Zoom and, you know, and you're seeing like 10 people in a funeral where we feel there should have been 100. You know, it's not making sense that so few people are there when this person has done so much for so many people. So one of the big things about the pandemic and grief is that it has created a potential complicated grief for people where you may not understand why you're feeling guilty over this person's death, why there seems to be this, you know, nagging sense of guilt and grief that is not going away, but it's related to how the pandemic affected our relationship with the person in their time of need, and worse sometimes, the fact that we could not attend the funeral, because that's quite important to a lot of us. Then you've got trauma. Now, trauma is slightly different. Trauma is you yourself has experienced something where you feel that you've been overwhelmed, you feel that you've been damaged psychologically, mentally, physically, some kind of damage has occurred, and the healing has not completed itself. So when you're talking about trauma, that is when people do need support and they do need help. You know, if you're under serious, you know, if you feel that you've been traumatized or the trauma is not going away, every day I wake up, I feel this pain and the pain is not going away, please reach out, get help. There is help out there. There are lots of counselors, you know, under Persatuan Council Malaysia, under different associations that can help and can support people. So, you know, trauma is the wounds that we are carrying, you know, walking wounded. We are walking wounded when we have trauma.
For those who aren't quite ready to fully get back into the swing of things, how can they draw up clear boundaries with friends, family and co-workers?
I think that nowadays it's actually easier to draw boundaries. I think one of the things we have learned from COVID is how to draw boundaries and to say, look, I can't come, I'm not feeling well, you know, I don't feel up to it today, oh, there are too many people around, oh, it's too crowded. I know it seems like excuses, but it's one of the few things we've actually gotten a bit more skilled at, of, you know, making excuses for not attending stuff or not going to stuff. And I think that the acceptance of people being afraid of public has gone a bit higher. That being said, when it comes to family and family expectations, because now the family want to see you or they want to be with you, and, you know, it's a give and take. So, you know, I know it's, you know, it's like we can't always say no, we can't always say yes. So we have to create a balance for ourselves where we satisfy the family and we also satisfy ourselves. And, you know, sometimes it's about being smart. Don't always use an excuse. Like, you know, try to keep it 50-50, I guess. I mean, that's up to the individuals at the end of the day.
We have just a minute left with you. Now, I think it's a little too soon to say, but I did want to close on this. What do you think the pandemic has taught us in terms of the importance of mental health and emotional resilience, and specifically how we can take care of ourselves in these areas?
I think it's taught us a lot in terms of mental health. I think it's taught us that, you know, working online all the time or working from home is not healthy for us. And I think that it has taught us quite a bit about human contact and the need for human contact moving forward. So I think the pandemic will actually have a long-term impact on how, you know, we move forward. Because I think before the pandemic, all of us had this idea that with technology, we'd all be working from home, we won't need to go to the office, you know. And I think now we're all going, no, we don't want that. That's not going to be what the future is going to be like. So I do think there's going to be a shift, but how that shift is going to be in terms of workplace and home balance, I'm not sure, but it will be a shift. Now, in terms of the other areas, we are much more, like you said earlier, we are much more open to talking about mental health. And like you, as you said, I do hope this conversation continues and we keep up healthy discussions on mental health and understand that this, any kind of stigma, there's no more need for stigma. Stigma should have died in the 18th century. And as we move into the future, we have to understand that mental health and physical health are both needed for us to be happy.
Dr. Anasuya, thanks for taking the time today.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Anasuya Jegathevi Jegathesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at the University of Cyberjaya, weighing in on our emotional preparedness, what we need as we are now transitioning towards the endemic phase. Let us know, I mean, how are you feeling about this? Are you ready? We'll be back for your messages. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.